Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Californians are running to pharmacies asking for potassium iodide pills out of concern about nuclear fallout from Japan crossing the Pacific. How worried or prepared do we need to be? We called up Mike Cecili with the State Department of Public Health. Mike, thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Rachel.
Do people need to worry about their health here on the West Coast?
Well, we're being told that at this point there is really no worry for the West Coast from radiation from Japan reaching California. However, it's always a good idea to have an emergency plan. However, we do not recommend people taking potassium iodide.
And why is that?
Well, it's usually only for situations where radiation is actually present in the environment, and it's currently not present. There are some people for whom it is definitely not indicated. Some people may have shellfish allergies or allergies to iodine or otherwise not be recommended for it, and they could have health problems if they take it. Also, potassium iodide is very helpful for preventing iodine from getting into the thyroid, but that is its single purpose. It's certainly not a cure-all or a preventative.
And just to back up for some people who may not be familiar with these pills, that's what you're doing when you take those pills in the event of a nuclear accident. You're protecting your thyroid?
That's correct. And in areas, for example, in California where we do have nuclear power plants, we do have supplies of potassium iodide available if there were a nuclear emergency. In some cases, for example, in San Luis Obispo County where Diablo Nuclear Power Plant is, the residents there are actually given pills in advance in case there were some type of a nuclear emergency. But that's usually within a radius of about 10 or 20 miles from the actual plant.
How soon do you need to take those pills?
Well, like I said, you don't need to take them because there is no nuclear emergency. You would be recommended by your public health authorities to take them if something were actually occurring. But since there's actually no radiation in the environment, there's no need to take them.
And you say that with confidence because the state is monitoring how much radiation is in the atmosphere?
Correct. We have a radiological health branch, and we do periodic monitoring. Also, we're in touch with our federal partners, and they're telling us there's nothing to worry about at this point.
Is there anything that Californians should be doing other than monitoring the news and making sure their emergency kits are in good working order?
Well, it's funny you say that. About half of all Californians do not have an up-to-date emergency kit. So if you're heading to the store, you're on your shopping list, you certainly should go for a 3-day supply of water, have your emergency medications that are prescribed to you available so you don't run out of them if you ever had to evacuate your home. But I think the more information you arm yourself with, the better you feel.
Mike, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Mike Cecili is a spokesman with the State Department of Public Health. As the disaster in Japan unfolds, it's worth asking, how safe are California's two nuclear power plants in the event of a major earthquake and tsunami? That's a familiar sound to people who live near the San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station, the annual emergency siren test. Every year, 52 sirens go off like this in northern San Diego County and southern Orange County. How safe is San Onofre? We asked Murray Jennings, an associate professor at San Diego State University. He worked at San Onofre for 17 years.
What they're built to withstand is a design earthquake analysis for that location. So the analysis of the San Onofre location shows that the maximum expected earthquake was a 6.4. And we built the plants for a 7.0 earthquake. So we overbuilt based on the analysis.
What kind of changes would you anticipate needing to be made, or what kind of changes might be desirable given the advances in technology that we can lean on now in 2011?
Some of the most common changes are pipe supports. The concern is always that when you get an earthquake, the pipes will vibrate and collapse. Well, the more we learn about pipe supports and the better we make them, those are things that we tend to change out more than anything else because holding those pipes in place is key. As far as modifications to buildings and things, I don't really see that happening all that much. There are big chunks of concrete with steel liners that are pretty thick. It's hard to change those.
What kind of lessons do you think California can take from what we've seen happen in Japan?
It's kind of early to say. I think that one of the things we'll look at very closely is they lost their backup generators. What caused those backup generators to not function? And that might be where we see some changes. But that's about the only thing to take from Japan for for us because we're different types of reactors.
Professor, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Murray Jennings's specialty is in nuclear containment leak rate testing. He spent 17 years at San Onofre during the 1980s and 90s. Pacific Gas and Electric operates Diablo Canyon in San Luis Obispo County. In recent years, a newly discovered fault running underneath Diablo has raised questions about the wisdom of renewing the facility's license to operate. But spokesman Corey Raftery says a recent review by the utility found Diablo's safety more than adequate.
We used our latest and greatest seismic technology both onshore and offshore. The plan is actually safer than we originally thought. And so that blanket of safety actually increased because the ground shaking from some of those faults now is not perceived to be as much as it was back in 1984 when we originally licensed the facility.
State lawmakers are calling for third-party confirmation of that assessment. Today is the deadline for PG&E to hand over a mountain of records to state regulators on another controversial question, what the utility knows about its natural gas pipeline network in the wake of the pipeline explosion last September in San Bruno. Tara Seiler has more.
For months, PG&E has been hunting down records for its pipelines, when they were built, where they were built, and how they were built. The effort involves more than a million documents.
I think what we've got here is a situation where on an emergency basis, PG&E has had to do 50 years of record catch-up, and you can imagine how that looks.
Paul Clannon, executive director of the California Public Utilities Commission, says his agency wants detailed records to justify operational pressures for the pipelines. But Clannon says,
based on the summary information that we get from PG&E right away, we will immediately consider whether we need to take any immediate steps, and I mean in hours and days after we get the information.
Clannon says the CPUC may quickly order pipeline pressure reductions. He says some pipelines may need multiple tests and some may need to be replaced altogether. PG&E concedes it doesn't have all the records the commission wants. PG&E Vice President Kirk Johnson.
In terms of our system, the number is probably between 20% and 30% of our system we will not be able to find the pressure test reports for.
Johnson says that's because such testing was not required of older pipelines. But it looks like that's about to change. All this testing will be expensive, and it's still up in the air who will foot the bill. For the California Report, I'm Tara Seiler.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, March 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, celebrating the 2011 recipients of the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards. More information is available at www.irvine.org. The California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health begins. More information at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com.